Eric W., Great Beach, Florida, 38 years. Welcome to the West LA Men's Stag Retreat 2019. It always comes at the end. I'm an alcoholic. I have a sponsor, and his name is.
I'm Lucid Wood. I'm from Palm Desert. I have 46 years of
age. Good. Okay. So, welcome. Glad you're all here. We're going to just do, at the beginning, we're just going to try to get in the room, try to get a feel. You'll see what that means, and then we'll go from there, depending on what you say. Okay? So just how many men have gone through the steps as the LA West, West LA Men's Stag goes through the book line by line, and it usually has the set aside prayer on the, at the beginning. So that's a style. So I just want to know how many people have gone through the steps in that style. Please raise your hand. Beautiful. How many people have gone through the steps? Raise your hand, including the ones who just raised their hand. How many people are currently doing the steps? Beautiful. Great. All right. So that gives me just an idea. I thought we'd open it up to the floor for just a little bit about what you want to get out of the weekend, what that I have control over. So, so one of the most, for people who've come here for a long time or other retreats, one of the unique things about this retreat is the fellowship. It's very touching, palpable. I have very little to do with that, just one among many. You know, it's really something we have, and hopefully it's a palpable, like a home group feeling, which we'll talk about. So, this weekend we have about 130 men. It's totally sold out, and all commuters are sold out. So, a lot of men want to come on retreat today. So I'd just like to know, just in very short, not like your whole story and your story, just so you know, your story doesn't matter anyway. The whole point is to kill the whole thing off before you're over. So don't worry about that story. I just, just real succinctly, we'll get a room for, like, what do you really are looking for or want to get out. So just if you could raise your hand, I'll get a... Okay, cool. Birthday boy, Matthew, what do you want out? 31 years today. Always gets picked on, the birthday boy. What do you want out of the weekend, Matthew? Someone else want to piggyback off of that? Yes, sir, in the back. Kevin.
This is my first retreat. I've always wondered if I'm missing something, right? There's something that's missing that, not to be given, but to show what's possible.
Oh, well, beautiful. Okay. Yeah. Others? Yes, sir.
Ben.
Oh, wow. I like that. Back to basics. I like that because it's like, what does that actually mean? What's back to the basics for you? Yeah, that's a cool. We get a lot out of that one. Okay, others? Yes, sir. And then I'll come over to Kirk. Hey, Mike.
You said your story doesn't matter, and I would like to feel I would like to have a better sense of my story and not matter. I'd like to not be competitive to the events going on for surrounding me.
Sorry, David. Go ahead, Kirk. Love you.
I wanted to hear about your experience with like spiritual bypass.
Oh.
And get the mind balanced in your book.
Yeah, okay. Can you explain to others who might not understand the word spiritual bypass what you mean by that?
Yeah, when I say spiritual bypass, some of the experiences I've had is rather than making this a way of living, sponsoring a lot of guys, going to a lot of meetings, but not integrating this thing in my life so I can live it out there, outside of the rooms, outside of the retreats, outside of work, you know, so there's a lot of, the part of the book that says by every form of self-deception and experimentation. And some of those forms I've found are spiritual bypass. And the other one about being mind-bound is, my experience here is I'm not my thinking, and I was bound to that. That was the only paradigm I knew for a long time. I was bound by just my thought process, and my vision was really closed off.
On that, yeah. We're not going to let Kirk talk anymore because then he'll take all my thunder in 4 minutes. That's why I love Kirk, and I'm glad he's here, man. Okay, go ahead.
Like the hit the reset switch? Oh. Spiritual cleanse?
Yeah, and what if you hit the reset switch, what would you be like at the end of it? Like if I ran into you, what would I feel? What would I feel next to you if you were reset? Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Pretty loving, yeah. That's a nice reset. I'll take two. I'll take a double of that. I go, oh, I don't know, this is my AA brother, Les.
I'm looking forward to hearing a deeply personal account of how your heart and spirit has been shaped by contact with God. Yeah.
Some of you will catch on. It's very emotional for me to be here, and I'll get into that, why that is. And yes, sir. Mr. Wood, the...
Thank you. We have become such busy people, and it's seldom that we can all be together like this. And that's one of the reasons that I come, because it's reconnecting with people that I love very deeply. I've gone through a lot of experiences. And so we get to just hear one another and see where we are. It's been nonstop since I got here, you know, like talking, and catching up. So I also came for you because I love you and I want to hear you. I don't get enough, you know, you live way across the country and all that. So I want to come here and support you. That's it.
Thank you, sir. My friend Radcliffe.
Radcliffe, alcoholic.
Radcliffe.
Thanks, Rick, for opening up the format like this. It's very interesting. What I'd like to hear is your story.
Hmm.
The high points, the low points, the tribulations, the redemption, when you might have, like many of us, wanted to leave and then you stayed, and just what the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride you've taken in the program. Also, I'm interested in meditation, whatever you have. If there's someone here with gongs to help with meditation, I like that. You know, we're all in this together, and I think we are going to have a great weekend.
It's cool. Yes. Hey, Mars.
I'd like to learn how to fully free myself of negative emotions. emotions that I've turned over, such as anger, but keep popping back in my life. I'd like to learn how to finally get rid of them.
How long are you sober?
18 years.
Yeah. I like that question. I have a lot of experience in that. And other men who know me personally asked if I would talk about my rage, my journey from rage, which some are alluding to, and quite a few have asked me before I came up here. And I do want to say one thing is that's totally possible. That is possible. And we laugh because it's so hard and we can't imagine to let something that deeply ingrained in us, that can that be gone completely? And I would say in the last 20 years of my life, maybe more, I do not feel that emotion. Anger. And I can show you specifically what I did, because I had to be taught it and build that tool brick by brick for decades. So I'd be happy to share that specifically. But it's possible. That's possible. Rage. Sex addiction is possible. For all of us who can't get off the porn, it's possible to be free of all that completely. And many other things, and we'll hopefully talk about all that too, including fear, which I am not free of at all, but I like the game, so I'm going to stay in it, see what happens. Today's another day. Other people? Where you want to get out of the, right here, sir, and then Rick.
I don't know. My wife decided I needed to move out of the house.
Yeah.
And I stayed with mom, and that's kind of a, it's a good thing I'm there. My mom's old. But, it's hard for me to get back in the house. And when I do, my wife kind of gets agitated and stuff. So I don't know if anybody might have, can share on that,
okay. So that's kind of a request from others who've gone through that to see him afterwards, and I'll share about my very intimate failures in there and some triumphs, especially surrendering that other people in my life, especially women, have the choice to pick well, and I have not been a well man, and that I'm not exempt in life. And thought I was, and I'll spend quite a bit of time on my suffering from thinking I'm exempt from the things that happen to all human beings in life. I thought, and would have a lot of anger over just natural things occur in life, and opinions my wives would have that I thought they shouldn't, because I basically just wanted my way. Rick.
I just want to be cracked open again.
Okay, we can do that. I sponsored Rick for a while, so we've had a lot of cracking open moments in our hearts through the years. So we can definitely do that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, thanks for opening this up. I guess for me, family of origin, not learning how not to react to certain family of origin things, and dealing with parents that are aging.
Yeah.
Also in relationships, similar, not to those old reactions.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate. The thing about family or origin things for me is you are what you practice, and you're always practicing something. So the things from the earliest part of our lives, known or unknown to us, we've practiced the longest. So it would take a lot of practice of something else to move that, or a radical surrender to pull the rug out from under it. So at least you're, the good news when I see long things, at least it's congruent. Like long, deep-seated things, deep wounds should, you know, you would think, hey, that might take a little longer than something I really don't care about. I can let that go pretty quickly. Things that I have long opinions about, even if it didn't happen that way, take a lot longer. So I think that's a common thing a lot of us have. So we'll look at that. Others? Yes, sir.
My name is Roman Alcoholic.
Hey, Roman.
What do I need to pay attention to make decisions in the first year of sobriety?
That's really good, too. What I need to pay attention to make decisions in the first year of sobriety. I think one of the biggest mistakes I've made when I've gotten lost through my journey is not to stay fresh like I did in my first year, thinking I know, hence thinking. And I was a little more malleable of listening when I first came. And then I think what's common among a lot of us is we get restored that it's our life's pretty good, so we just kind of say, well, I'll just take it all back now. And we run it, and then you hear all these stories about the crazy shit we do. Not, you don't even have to go back out to do it. So, cool. Anybody else have a burning desire? Or that's a little feel of the room, right? Very different. We got a little taste. Okay, and then anybody, let's see if we have anybody, like, if you want to say it. If you don't, you can just kind of do your eyebrows and I'll say it and no one else does. Anybody in the, I want to just think of two things. Anybody in the room kind of on a path that just feel like the AA thing's not deep enough and doesn't really work anymore? Yeah. All right, got quite a few eyebrows and some hands. Yeah, that's good. I have a lot of experience in that, a lot. And we'll talk about that. And then anybody in the room that just feels like hopeless and you came, but you're just like, man, I'm just done with this shit. Bunch of fucking losers. Anybody feel like that? Oh, the happy bunch. Okay. Those people will be here tomorrow because they're like, fuck Friday, the traffic. Okay. So I want to just, okay. So this is usually, and I heard the request, you know. So I'll honor the request. I don't know if it's going to be in the form you want. So I heard the request of an intimate portrayal of my journey. So I'm going to start that. You might get it through the whole thing versus a lead. So if you know this, you know, just set aside every, if you've been to this retreat or a lot of retreats, just set aside everything you think should happen, like this retreat every Friday night, even though the speakers are told you can do whatever you want. We all give our story. We all, you know, that's kind of how it goes, okay? And then kind of how it goes over the weekend is we'll go in depth around these steps. That's how we do that. I will not do that. That's why on the 25th anniversary, I'm probably here. And here's why I'm not going to do that. This is titled Living This Way of Life. So, for all of us who've been around, who've done these steps, it's just so tediously boring to hear the same instructions again that we've heard forever. So that whole group's out. They're nice, they'll hug you, you're taught in AA, like, get a nugget, so we get a nugget. Takes 3 days to get one nugget. You're like, the return on investment's a little low. Then, if you're new, the problem is, it doesn't really matter what I say about it. You got to sit across from another guy, or if you're gay, a girl, you know, someone you're not attracted with is kind of how we are. And you actually got to go through it. And I'm not that guy unless I'm sponsoring you. So I don't see that as super useful, even though I will use a lot of areas that we've talked about, and I will illuminate those for you. And I might illuminate because of certain requests, very specific things, but it doesn't help you. So I want to, it's the 25th anniversary of this meeting, and it's the 25th anniversary of this retreat for people who weren't here. So I just want to talk about one thing about AA and then kind of talk about my story and why I'm in front of you. And where's Pacey at? Do we actually try to break, right? Don't we? After like, and then we break and then we get into it. So that's cool. I'll take between now and 8:15 and then we'll break. And this will let me do my thing. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I kind of come with a warning label. Then those who do know me either hate it or they kind of like my warning label. And my warning label is this, that I have a tendency to be as transparent and vulnerable as I can. And it can be uncomfortable for people. And other people just dig it, you know, but I'll cry. I'll raise my voice, you know, I'll prod, I'll plead, I'll say things that you've been thinking for many years from the front, because I know we're thinking of them and I'm willing to take the risk for us to illuminate that. So the thing, I'm just saying that, and the biggest thing is it's really, you know, we usually do the thing about telling our story because we say this is, well, I want you to get to know, you know, what you're dealing with, and here's my story. But the problem with that is you're not dealing with me. If that's the case, you have to get up here and tell your own story, because that's the only thing you're dealing with is you. And I'm really interested in being of assistance for you to help look at you, because I've been given that here in a really, really big way. So, you know, we're going to talk just a little about my drunkalogue after the break, maybe. But, you know, I've had AA when I was 4 years sober for, what do you do, coming to solitary confinement inside of Leavenworth, Kansas, reach its arm in me and pull me out of there and give me a life way beyond my dreams. I came to this meeting in 95, about a year after it was born. And on a recommendation from my now wife's sponsor. And I had, let me back up before I say this, because I was just going to say it on there, like, he did what? I haven't given a retreat. In my late teens, sober, I gave a lot of 12-step retreats like this out of that format because the book lit me up. So I traveled around the country, did a lot of that. Clint, who took me through it, who founded this meeting, just lit me up. That's what he did. It's what Luther did. It was like many men in that group did that because there were a lot of requests. And after a couple of years of that, about my 20th anniversary or 21, I really hated it, which I've never said from the room, but a lot of people have always wondered, because on their side, they were like, wow, Rick's really cool at this. And I've said no to every single request at that level for 18 years till this request to come back here. And the reason was is just I didn't know how to really be authentic. even though people didn't know it. Even though my thing was so vulnerable, I still didn't feel, I just felt like I was doing half my story, and to have an impact, I would language my story in a way like, for example, I might have gotten a great tool that totally lit me up from a spiritual teacher somewhere. But I would just say, my sponsor taught me, because that's easy for people to relate to. It's hard to say, well, I got that from a monk, you know, in Europe. You know, then people are like, well, he's kind of weird. And people's minds went out. So because of that, I chose, right, wrong, or indifferent, just to use a certain style. But it didn't, it felt like I was lying because I was lying. Funny how that goes in this thing. Even though my intention was good because I loved it so much, I just felt like I think my job this whole weekend for me is service. You know, it's be a service to you. This is not in my recovery side of my triangle. This is in my service side. So, you know, I tried that. And I just didn't like it. And I felt very lonely because of that. I couldn't relate because I was kind of lying. And I don't know, I just didn't have it in me to. And I kind of got uninterested in the kind of what I would call the intellectual part of the program, which is basically intellectually understanding how it works. We say the directions a lot, you know, the directions. I became very uninterested in the directions, and I became very interested in, just for today, how much could I practice and how much could I let go? And I got really interested in that. So in some ways, just selfishly, I just didn't want to spend my time at it. And so at 20, I went to ask Clint, I just thought it was going to break his heart. Like, Clint, I just don't want to do it anymore. Okay, Rick, you want to have dinner? This was my thinking. He didn't care. You know, he just wanted me to be happy. You know, he didn't make me do it or do any of that. So I want to say that. So this retreat, I'm just going to let it rip. So the problem with that is if you're new on the path and just new to AA, some of these sections won't make sense to you. I am going to probably use tomorrow afternoon, where it's optional to be here, to maybe see for guys who've been around for a long time, you know, to discuss stuff. And it doesn't mean you have to be around a long time to be here, you know, and maybe we'll do that. So I wanted to say that. So the other thing is around fellowship is, you know, we get so close. The other issue I've had for many years is, you know, you have sponsors or people you meet. Many are in this room. So, you know, it's another reason why I've kind of avoided the LA, you know, the men's stag, and this room is, it's just hard, you know, for me, you know, when I lost Clint, I've never really recovered from it. You know, I've had other losses like that. You know, my best friend was murdered when I was in the eighth grade. And I just never recovered from why he got murdered over a quarter. You know? I just couldn't. It just breaks me up. You know, I just loved him so much. And Clint died, and I went back to the meeting, and I just fucking was crushed. I just couldn't be there. I just didn't have it to go through the room anymore. So I left. Never went back. And thank God I have Luther. So we'll talk about that. So I've kind of avoided it all, you know. So, I had a spiritual experience in January 10th, 1990, very unusual and very powerful. In a very, very long story short, I ended up traveling the world as a healer, hands-on healer. Just an energy came through me that we talk about in this room and seek, and people changed around me. And when I came to this meeting, that interested Clint a lot about the experience of unity or things, like something he was trying to test. So we became very, very close. And Luther and I too. Luther and I at that time were just really good friends. And then when Clint died, I just wanted to be like Luther. Criteria for having a good sponsor. And what I wanted from Luther was he's the most openly loving man I know. And he wasn't that way. Way more than me. And I wanted to be like that. And I knew he had worked at it. And he could teach me in very specific way how to surrender enough to be open and loving and real. And that's why he's my sponsor to this day. And Clint died. We both lived on the beach, he and Marina Del Rey, me in Santa Monica. We'd walk down the beach and meet at a breakfast place. And we had been doing it for a long time. And after Clint died, we met. You know, and I asked him to be my sponsor, you know. And he goes, wow, I don't know if that's going to work. You know, we're best friends. I mean, it was just great. So open-mindedness. He goes, well, let's just give it a try. And so for 18 years, we've been doing it. So the story in that is we threw out kind of convention, you know, and it really worked out. And I like the value of throwing out convention if one is spiritually fit versus throwing out convention because you're really fucked up and think you're getting over. So one of the gifts I got from that was when people leave their body, I actually can assist them leave their body. I see people's spirit move out of the body and I can actually help them die a really great death. And anyway, that's a gift. So when Clint got cancer, of course, like I'm a healer, like I'll go over and help him, right? And Clint said he didn't want that from me. And we always talked about dying a great death. And what that meant out of living a great life, like which is like dying a great death every day, which is what Matthew was talking about. The beauty of dying a great death, which I would call living this way of life. The surrender, radical surrender of my thinking, like men have talked about. So what Clint asked me, he goes, look, I'm going to get worse. I'm going to go in and out of the hospital. I don't want you to show up. Which I really took personally. I didn't like it. But I did it. But he said, when the day comes, either me or Linda will call you. And I want you to help me die. So, like we do in AA, it's not about me and what I wanted. It was about him and what he wanted. So, like many of us in this room, when he was dying in his house upstairs, many of us went in and out. And I don't know who called, but my wife told me that Clint was passing and it was time to go. And I was super busy and canceled everything for like a week. And got my bag and slept on his floor. Just whispered to him as he was leaving his body, like where to go and what to do. So, he was there a long time for me. I was like, this guy's never gonna die. I mean, so I remember Lisa finally came up and I said, let's go to a hotel, man. I've been sleeping on the floor for a while. I don't think he's going to go tonight. He'll all be okay. And Linda said, asked me not to go. You know. So I slept with Lisa in the next door to his bedroom was his office where he took people through the steps. It's a very powerful place. Slept on the floor in there. And a few hours later, I woke up and I could feel him moving out. So long story short, it was a great death. And when he left his body, I closed up his chakras, kissed him on the head. And in that way, he's kind of been with me ever since, but just such an intimate, beautiful love affair. And that's available to every single one of you here. And I hope you feel it like many of us have felt that with someone, like I have felt it. And I hope you have the joy of being totally annihilated from it because it was so great. And my tears aren't really so much of the loss. It's just so beautiful. It's hard to be with. And in our journey together, what I found out is you let go of enough stuff, the beauty of God is hard to be with because it's so beautiful. It's hard to function. Hence, all of them who put a lot of time are cloistered. You got to go in their monasteries and go find those cats if you're really serious. And a lot of us have done that. So, it took me, I used to speak a lot, like be on the circuit, and Clint died. I never got behind a microphone in an AA meeting for 3 years. It took me 3 years to say yes. And it was at the Canyon Club in Laguna Beach, and where's Johnny at? There's Johnny. And I don't know, that day someone couldn't speak or something. Someone said, well, Rick will do it. And it was a really good friend of my wife's. Made the request. And I said yes because I loved her. I don't know what the fuck I was doing, but I did it. And I kind of said that this story, and that I hadn't talked in 3 years, and this is what I learned in the last 3 years. So, for those of you who I've known and haven't been around for decade and a half, and for those who are new, I thought this weekend I'd give you an update. It's been a little while. So around a good death, you know, which guys I sponsor have not heard this for good reason, so this is a good time to break. But the other reason I decided to do this is about I had really poor health, and about a year ago my doctor said if you deteriorate at this same level, you'll be dead in a year. And I decided not to tell anybody, even my daughter, because I knew my daughter wouldn't make it through high school and I wanted to see her to go to college. And I told very few people. I told Luther. Bruce was living with me. It was a job transfer. I told Bruce, my wife, my older brother. And I told a couple spiritual teachers and a couple places I had to do that. And I didn't tell anybody else, including my sponsees. So when I got this invitation at that point in time, if all that was going to occur, and this was right about a year, I remembered Clint. I said, this would be a great death for me to say this and share whatever I learned and just not keep it out of my own petty brokenness and just maybe give back just a fraction of what's been given to me in this room. So if I didn't have that, I probably would have said no, frankly. But I had that, and I'm really glad I said yes. And 2 months after that, I had a turn for the better in my health. Not bad. Who knows? So that's why I said yes. So I was planning for this at the beginning when I said yes. I thought, well, it'd be pretty good to just be totally honest. Then I'll be fucking dead and I'm good. It still sounds pretty logical if you're worried about what's the fallout. It's like, well, if you're fucking dead, it doesn't matter what the fallout is. Don't have any ego left anyway. Matter of fact, you don't even have to listen to it. So that was kind of relieving. And I do feel much better, but I am going to sit and stand when I have a degenerative disease. It's family oriented. It's good, but I have some other things, and that doesn't really matter. And how long we stay here doesn't really matter, and not stay here. You know, what really matters is living this way of life. That's what really matters. Living this way of life. So, if you're brand new, most people don't end up here because it's all good to go. So you have to make your own decision. I'm a little uninterested in it, to be honest, so I'm just not going to do it. Like, if you want to, you know, I used to spend a lot of time for the newcomer. I love you guys. You're really important. But look, you got to decide if you want. I'm just going to be blunt. You got to decide you want to get in the game or not. That's your decision. It's not mine, and I'm frankly not going to put a lot of time into it because it's not my decision. Just not going to do it. Oh, but welcome. Boy, you would never give this tape to a frickin' regular meeting ever. And I do love you, but I'm just not going to go there. I mean, I'm just not going to do it. You know, I'm not exempt. If I got the disease of alcoholism and I want to deny it till I'm dead, and you want to do that, go ahead. If you don't, there's another way to do this thing, and it's tried and proven. There's people in here with 46, Leonard, and down that have been living this way of life in a brilliant, elegant way. And if you want it, you can have it. If you don't, frankly, I hate to say it, us old timers, it's really no sweat off my back at all. So that's a little tough love. The other thing is I'm going to conduct the retreat a little different, so it's more confrontive. So I thought we'd do an experiment. If I'm going to do it anyway, but I'm going to tell you how to survive the experiment. You know how we really are one way in front of the room. It's all about, here's my story. And it's all so, because we're a very sensitive lot. We don't like to be told what to do or how it is. You know, so that's how AA works really well, is we just do our thing, you pick and choose. Then if you want a more intimate relationship, you get a sponsor, and that changes a little. They're kind of like, I think you're fucking crazy. Oh, but do it anyway if you want. Go try, you know, you ever see what your sponsor is like? They don't have to say that word, but when you explain your little plan to them, their eyes kind of get a little big, just a little. That sign right there is, you're fucking crazy. Now I got to tell you it nicely or not. That's the sign right there. So I thought the experiment would be this, to just be more transparent, is that I would talk this weekend in a very intimate way, like you're as close as Luther and I are, and Clint and I are, like... that I would take any risk of you not liking me for you to see God or be sober. So it's more like a sponsor-sponsee dialogue than a speaker dialogue. Because I say things very different to people very close to me than people who aren't. Like you guys do. We're well trained in AA. It's like, I just share, and it's like, and you know, people come and go. It's just not our business. We're very good at that, thank God. We're not changing it. I thought I'd language from that way, so it might help a little. And you know, you can unlanguage it so it doesn't bother you, you know, if you're sensitive. So I thought I'd do that. And the other thing I thought I would do is, talk about AA after the steps and tools, spiritual tools taught after one goes through all the steps. It'll be very useful for people who might have done the steps, but I thought I'd do that. Because that's kind of a thing, you really have to practice this way of life to teach someone else those. You can't get away with just paraphrasing the book. So what happens is you get a more intimate way of exactly what to do. And that, I think, could be really useful. So I thought I'd do maybe some of that. What else did I want to do? And the other thing I thought I would do is if it flows right, I might have you actually, which he does not know this, give you a peek, a very raw peek of how I am with my sponsor. So what that would look like is he would mic up. I would, like I was calling him on the phone in front of you, in what I'm dealing with right now in my life. And you could hear what he says to me to be, stay spiritually fit in it. I thought that would be useful, maybe. So we'll see. I thought that would be good. So, and then I thought what I would do is try to get as very detailed as we could in questions like, the great reality lives deep within us, right? We always hear that. Okay. Well, what is the great reality? Normally, intellectually, we'll go, well, that's God. No, what I mean is, when you're in the great reality, how's it feel? What's the texture of it? how do we navigate it to expand in it, which is what Kirk's talking about. So things like that, because I think we talk intellectually about it, which is good, but I think what we don't do sometimes is be very detailed. And there's men in here, if I open that conversation up, that are experts at it. Rob is one. Bruce, there's many that have been in my life who are experts at that. So I thought that would be kind of cool for retreat. So finally, I would say, you know, there's a definition of retreat if I can find. I wrote notes. So that's the other thing. Like, since I haven't done this a long time, I'm not going to say, because I can't remember. Thank you, Luther Wood, Clint Hodges, Sandy Beach, Chuck Chamberlain, Alcoholics Anonymous, and God. I cannot remember what's on what page anymore because I really do not care. But I really do care that whatever's on there, I'm practicing it to the point I can't remember where it came from. So, for those of you who are experts in the book versus practicing or living this way of book, I'll give you an exercise that I was given, which a lot of people weren't. And I'll tell you why I was given it to it, and then this will give you something to chomp on. You know, we always talk about the 11 step, 10 and 11, you know. So a lot of us have been doing this a long time. So my question is, if it's about practicing these steps in our life, how many years, every day of your life and every year, have you done that? I was given a thing to do it 30 days straight, and when I missed a day, to start over. That was what Clint told me, because I had a lot of experience in many different styles of spirituality. He thought it was something that would discipline me. Remember, God disciplines us in this way. And it really worked for me, doing that every day. So I played that game solid, like super strict, every day for about 2.5 years straight. And then I have done it every day since then without actually looking at the book. And a few months ago, I started just doing it with the book again. And it was different, even though the functionality was the same. I think it's the thing Bruce and I have in common is he's very good at that. Every day for many, many years, decades of that type of discipline. So if it's about practicing these principles and these things every day, then if I had to look at it, I would be doing that 11th step out of the book every day, just as it says. So my question to you, if I was sponsoring you, would be, how many days you got? How many days you got? And if you're not reaching what you want, some people have said that, I would propose, this is what we say in a nice way from that, if you practice these principles. But if I don't practice them, I don't get it. But they really do mean, Mr. Wood has always said this to me, you better practice. You better practice. Because that's all you got to convert intellectual knowledge into conscious contact. It's practice. So the question in retreat that's a little, see I'm pushing in a little, that's a little, hopefully this is a little more uncomfortable. Are you practicing? Now some people will be, I'm not there yet. Then it's like, where you're at, are you practicing? When I first came here, practice not drinking in between meetings and get to a meeting every day. And then the question is, are you practicing that? And if you practice that, then you practice something else. So those of us who've done all the steps, are we practicing? If you're not, don't whine about your shitty life and that you got a bunch of thinking, you're not practicing. You don't need me or any some great technique. Practice what you're told to practice. There's no getting over. So I just want to tell you that. And, you know, So I thought, in true tradition of the West LA men's stag, that if I was successful from up here, that I would really disturb you in your spiritual progression, that I could take everybody to their edge, that you would go down the hill going, this, 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 and this, I want to surrender, this, 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 and this, I'm going to practice. I think that would be useful because I don't go down the hill with you. And you get to choose. And but I thought that's where I'd come from, and maybe that'll help. So we'll come back, and we're either going to do one or two things. I'll tell my story, maybe, or we'll do the first step together. Since only you know about your unmanageability. Only you know about your powerlessness. And since I love two nights here, but I think what we waste sometimes is on, I don't want to waste on the first night not disturbing you enough that when you try to sleep, you're sleeping on this. Like, really, where am I in my program? So ask yourself that. Like, where, if you want to work, if you want to work the recovery part of the triangle this weekend, you can do that. But you can work the fellowship part, and I tell you, you'll go down pretty happy and buzzed. I mean, it's powerful. But you could have that and do this. And then a few special people get the service part too. You know? So, but you choose. I mean, I'm not forcing you. I'm just going to try to throttle it up as much as I can to give us a shot at something that maybe would be useful. So we're going to break for, there's like 80 of us in here, right? Okay. So can we be disciplined? So hold on. I have to call it out. For 15 minutes to work, those of you who are smoking the beautiful cigars and cigarettes, you're probably going to have to make a choice. Smoke the cigar, piss in the woods, or not smoke the cigar and piss in the toilet. See what I mean? Like, manage yourself. 15's 15. And if we don't do that, and we're going to be bigger, like, the problem about taking breaks is we're so big, it's hard to get back. So get back. Be very disciplined. Again, you are what you practice. What are you practicing? So please try to get back, and so we can do the next thing. 15 is 20. We're giving you 12. 20 of. 12 minutes.